The world is full of wonder, mysteries for me and you. But it's not always easy to determine what is true. Now let's join Gwen and Brian as they ponder and construe. We have questions.
Hi, this is Brian Kluger.
And this is Gwen Reyes, and we're the hosts of a brand new podcast called We Have Questions.
Each episode, we break down a topic that has us scratching our heads. And for our second episode, we're diving into the whole home cable realm.
You guessed it. We're diving into the cord cutting phenomenon. Brian, I have some questions. I have to be real with you. I am too afraid to cut the cord, but I know it's something that you've done. So I have
a question for you.
Okay.
Why are you scared to cut the cord?
Well, because I like being able to watch live TV.
All right. Fair enough.
Which is funny because I never watch live TV when it's actually live. I always watch it on a DVR.
Right. Because, yeah, we're talking about cord cutting and we're talking about cable, you know, home cable. And I think at least growing up, I always had cable. And, you know, I've had cable so long where there was literally only one HBO and one Showtime. And that was it. There wasn't like 14 different channels of everything, or there was maybe 20 other channels, but not like 400 channels like there are today.
Yep.
So it's interesting.
Yeah, I feel the same way because I grew up always having cable. If the cable ever went out for like, you know, any reason whatsoever, it was the world was coming to an end, and it was the first thing that needed to be taken care of was our cable. So I have a very extreme response to whenever Cliff or anyone in my family recommends the idea of cutting the cable. I'm like, why would you do something so crazy? But it actually kind of makes sense to me too, because there are so many options out there now for people to be able to watch TV on the go that you don't really need to be spending $400 a month for your cable.
Yeah. And you made a good point about live TV. I don't even remember the last time I watched live TV, maybe like 3 times a year. And that probably includes Super Bowl. I didn't even watch the Oscars last year, but maybe that. And then, you know, other than that, but there's fixes for it that we'll get into for sure. Mm-hmm. If you do that, but yeah, it's 'cause we used to have to watch cable as it aired. That's how we used to watch it. But now with DVR and everything, you could literally record like 150 shows at once, and you know, you can have them forever.
Well, and there's also the thing I was just thinking about with one benefit I've found to having cable or just the ability to watch live TV of a DVR is that when the networks take it, like say it's an award show or it's sports or it's something that there might have been an F-bomb dropped in it inappropriately, when they rebroadcast it or they re-air it on whatever streaming service they want to do it, they sometimes edit stuff or they keep it away altogether. And sometimes the only way you can see it is when it was like live the first time.
Correct.
But that's just, you know, that's few and far between those situations.
True. So what questions do you have?
Well, I'm just curious, right off top, to get kind of into it, is what do you consider cord cutting?
So I cut the cord a few years ago, and this is coming from somebody who like lived and breathed cable, and I went into it almost kicking and screaming. Like I watched everything. I recorded like 50 shows a day. I watched. And I was like, how will my life go on if I cut this cord? And I got to be honest, cutting the cord is literally getting rid of your cable. Time Warner, AT&T U-verse, Verizon, Frontier Communications. It is literally taking that cable cord from outside into your TV and getting rid of it. No more cable that way. That is what cord cutting is. And it's a huge, huge phenomenon right now. People are doing it all the time because it's cheaper. So yeah, that's what cord cutting is. And I did it a few years ago. I had Time Warner cable, and which was a disaster. And then I got U-verse, which was less of a disaster, but still a disaster. And you know, after said and done, I cut it. And after the first week, maybe after the first 5 days, I was like, I don't miss this at all. And everything is better now. So that's what cord cutting is, the term cord cutting is. And so I know it sounds scary, right?
It does sound scary. And I was going to say, because you said it took you about 5 days to kind of be comfortable with it. Were you nervous going into the ether that you would miss something or that it wasn't going to be the same? Or did you set yourself like a time limit of if it doesn't make you happy after a month, you would go back to cable or something?
I mean, there's always a thing like, yeah, you can do it after a month. And I kept saying to that to myself. And it was like a big change because somebody like you or somebody like myself who like watches a lot of TV and mm-hmm. like has a lot of shows, you're like, how will my life go on? I'm going to have to like get a hobby and go outside.
No, thank you.
But it was surprisingly a pretty easy transition. There's just like a couple different, like very smaller things that like are different, but otherwise you get your stuff and there's certain ways how you can get live TV and all of that and all the programming you like. So I actually, you know, those first few days I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna like this, but like, you know, every day I was like, oh, I can still watch this. And, you know, I was on the mindset like, yeah, it's live TV. I can pause and rewind, but you can do that now. And, you know, nobody's ever home to watch anything as it happens. So you're always watching at different times, late in the night, early in the morning, or several days after. So it really worked well for me.
Do you feel like your life is better having cut the cord?
Yes, financially, and there's just way more options. And plus, like, you know, with cable, I don't know anybody who uses their full potential of cable, like, you know, actually having cable. Like, so you buy these packages, and a lot of people have like 300 to 800 channels, and really, you only really want like a selection. You want like 20 channels you really want. The mm-hmm. rest of them you will never watch, you will never turn on, so why pay for all of it? So cutting the cord kind of gives you that option.
Yeah, that's always been the most appealing thing for me, because I realize, like, as a person who I do love to watch TV, I do love to, like, flip channels still when it's possible to do so, but I also know that I only know off the top of my head like 5 channels that I know how to get to, because you get to that point where there's so many, so it's too hard to memorize the new numbers and the different places, and everything's different if you have DirecTV versus like Frontier or ATT Universe. Yeah. So it's I like that idea, because I don't need to be watching Rednecks Hunt Ghosts every single day, because the only network I know is Investigation or is a Destination America.
Yeah, or you know, there's Molly B's Polka Party, you know, on
there's one. A lot of garbage on television.
There is, and I don't get it. I mean, sometimes I want to watch a polka party, but I don't know.
Not every day.
Not every day.
No. I definitely don't want to watch a marathon.
You know, no, not unless you're coming home after the bar and you just want something fun and easy to relax to. I don't
know. Yeah, you're like even then, I'm just going to put on Netflix and call it a day.
I like it. So yeah, that's cord cutting. And that was my initial reaction going into it. And then it was like, just, you know, life after cord cutting, it is mashed potatoes and gravy. It's amazing.
Were there shows or movies or anything that you were kind of nervous that you weren't going to be able to get through the different sort of channels that you had chosen to use as your cord cutting choices?
Of course. So yeah, you're asking like, were there movies or shows that I watched that I thought that I wasn't going to be able to get because I cut the cord?
Yes, that was my elongated way of saying that. Yes.
Yes, there was. Because back when I cut the cord, and this was, oh man, when was this? This was 2010, 11, when I cut the cord. Maybe 2011. Maybe 2012. It's been like over 5 years. But There was. And back then, there wasn't a lot of the apps that are out now. So I had to go into iTunes and purchase them, which turned out to be way, way, way more cheaper. Way cheaper than having the actual cable monthly bill. But nowadays, there's literally an app for every television channel and every network, and it's super easy to get to, whether no matter what device or app you're using. But in the beginning, yes, and such as live TV, there's ways to get live TV that are super cheap and don't cost anything as well.
So yeah, let's talk about sort of what devices you need to properly cut the cord. It's like, what do you sort of like the planning process, the execution process?
Okay, so you know, so for somebody who doesn't know, like, is not tech savvy, doesn't know how to hook up something, the only thing you would need if you want to cut the cord, let's say you had UVerse, you had Frontier, you know, you have to call your cable service and you want to tell them you want to get rid of your cable, and they'll most likely try to entice you to stay by lowering the bill or whatever. Just say no. Remember that saying back in the day in school? Just say no to cable. Do drugs, but not cable. It changed.
Priorities, kids.
Priorities. So the device, so you get rid of your cable, and most likely they'll turn it off from wherever their location is, and you either will have to send the cable box back, or they'll just let you keep it. Most likely you'll send it back. They'll send you a box to send it back in free of charge, and you'll be done with cable. However, you want to keep your internet service. The only thing you need for cutting the cable is internet service. It's the only thing you need. Nobody uses landlines anymore unless you're literally don't have a cell phone or you're still faxing. But I don't know anybody who really faxes a whole lot anymore. Use a landline. So really you just need an internet line, and those run anywhere between $30 and $70 a month. And, you know, when I had cable, when I had UVerse, when I got rid of it, I was paying over $240 a month for cable and internet. That is hugely expensive. And I didn't even have all the movie channels. I didn't even have the porn channels for that much money. I should have had that, but I didn't have any of it. So it just got expensive. It's ridiculous to pay that much money. Do you agree?
Oh yeah. 100%. As a person who has two different cable bills. Yes, I do agree.
So, to get in that, once you have your internet service, I would recommend, you know, a good internet service, you know, like a top tier one. And then basically the sky's the limit, because now TVs, DVD players, Blu-ray players, 4K players have our smart televisions and smart players, meaning that they have a lot of these apps already on there. But mm-hmm. What I first did, I got an Apple TV, which is like this little box the size of a credit card almost, like the size of a coaster. And you literally just plug it into the wall, and then you plug it into your TV, and that is literally it. It's wireless, and it has every app you could ever want on it. HBO, Showtime, Stars, FX, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, Disney, ABC, NBC, Fox, all of it. ESPN, your sports, everything. And though, if you have an Apple TV, that's pretty much all you need, because it literally has every app on it. And an Apple TV costs right now $150, and plus your $60 for the cable bill. So the $150 is a one-time fee, $60 a month for cable, or not cable, for internet service. And then, you know, if you have Netflix, Hulu, it just goes from there, but it's still cheaper than $240 a month.
So what apps are you paying for, and which ones are you getting for free? Like getting free content versus actually having to do a subscription-based model?
So right now, Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime are the really big ones right now. So Netflix is around $8 a month. Hulu is $8 a month. And Amazon Prime, you pay yearly for that, which I think it comes to around $8 to $10 a month. So that's $30 right there, and that is literally almost every TV show and every movie you could ever want, ever. For $30 a month. For live content, so let's say, so I have a thing like, I studied weather in college, and I'm always fascinated with weather. So how, with cutting the cord, will you be able to get weather updates? You know, and we're based in Dallas, Texas, where severe weather and severe weather season is insane. You want to keep updated. So I went to the store, and you remember those bunny ears, those rabbit ear antennas?
Mm-hmm.
They still make those. They're like $10 at Target. You plug that into your TV, and it is an HD signal and perfectly clear. You can't rewind or pause it, but it's live TV, and it does not cut out whatsoever.
So you're at least getting the basic local channels.
Channel 4 through, 33.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot of sports games are on that. A lot of, your live Oscar award shows are on that. But also most of those award show clips will be added to Hulu at some point, right after the version.
Right. But again, that depends on the actual producers and the networks and stuff. Because and we'll kind of get into this a little bit later, but there's such an onslaught coming of all of these networks that are getting into their own streaming service game. They're fleeing Netflix, they're fleeing Hulu, and they're fleeing Amazon, and they're launching their own services. And so something like the Tony Awards, which airs in the summertime, is on CBS, and they don't put those up online ever.
So it's a good point. CBS released very recently CBS All Access, which I am vehemently opposed to.
But see, that's what's interesting that you are, because you're going to be getting more and more networks that are doing that. As people cut the cords, they're going to want they want your dollars, and they know that you want to see their shows.
So somebody like CBS, who has nothing to offer right now as far as digital content, they finally put out the Star Trek series, which you can only watch on CBS Access. Now, mm-hmm. even if you have the CBS app, the free app that has most of their shows on, and even if you pay for the cable, like if you have CBS in your cable package, you still have to pay $10 a month for the CBS All Access. Now, this would be good for somebody like Disney, who has a huge catalog of unreleased stuff or stuff that's out of print. But somebody like CBS, they're trying to find content such as Star Trek to put on this to entice people to buy it. And we just got the news last week that Jordan Peele was going to make a reboot of the Twilight Zone series for CBS for their All Access app. So when people start doing this, let's hope not that, CBS cost $10. What if Fox, NBC, ABC also going to do the same thing with $10? And then you're right back up with $240 in cable bills.
Yep. And that's the thing. That was one of my biggest issues of why the cost of the cutting of the cord doesn't really make sense to me, because I know now it's I pay cable, and then I also have a Amazon account, and I have a Hulu account, and I have a Netflix account, and I have an Acorn account. And, I have a lot of these are ones because you and I are both press members. We get free subscriptions to things, but they're usually the lower end ones that if you want to get, I have the CBS All Access, but I don't pay for the nice version, the commercial free version. I just have the free one that they gave me as a press screening one.
Right.
And then, AMC announced this summer that they're going to be putting out their own streaming service, and so did FX. And they're going to have all of their catalog on it. So eventually it's going to come to this point where, if you want to watch old episodes of Breaking Bad, you can only get that on the AMC streaming service.
Which is free right now. AMC is a free service right now. So it is there's good things and bad things with that. With Netflix, most of Netflix's their deals were with these movie studios and television studios where they would get to put their content out, such as Hulu as well. But now so many people are going to streaming. These companies are investing money in their own apps, and it's just going to become so how much am I paying for this? But I mm-hmm. think there's still good to coming out of cutting the cord, because it's easier to access on-demand videos. Their setup is way easier than, let's say, on ATTUverse and everything like that. And in addition to that, you can pick and choose, which, like, some people might not want to watch anything on Showtime or FX, but just AMC and HBO. So you can pick and choose, basically, which I like.
Yeah.
But now, you know, Disney supposedly might be buying Fox, 21st Century Fox. Everything might be on Disney at some point. You know, you never know, because these companies are getting bigger. So there's a lot to go in. And like cable, there's a service called Sling TV, which acts as like a DVR, like a DirecTV, and it's super cheap as well, and you'll get to watch all your live programming there too.
Yep.
So there's a lot that goes into it, and there even some of the apps, like the ABC app in certain markets, NBC app, you could actually watch live TV. Or like the USA app, you can completely watch live TV on USA app.
Yeah, I do like the USA app. And I do like the ones that allow for that, because there are going to be those times, like, there's just going to be those times that you want to watch something because you're a part of the conversation. Like a lot of these shows, like Scandal and How to Get Away with Murder, the actors actually do live tweeting in each of the markets for it. So that's part of their promotional engagement. So there's just going to be needs and desires. Because the thing is, it's fun. It's like what, you know, it's one of the things that you and I bonded over was our love of discussing film and television. So I think that there are still going to want to be people like that. But it also causes sort of the shows to be almost intangible in a way. Like they're not important. Like everybody was talking about Stranger Things last week, and now nobody's talking about it. 2 weeks ago, it was all about Mindhunter, and now it's like that's not even a big deal anymore.
Well, yeah, because, you know, like places like Netflix, maybe only Netflix, they release their shows all at once, so a lot mm-hmm. of people binge them all in 1 day or 2 days, and then you watch it and you talk about it for, you know, the next week, and then there's the next thing, you know, like what's yep. the next thing, instead of, you know, something like Walking Dead or Breaking Bad, where it's on for literally 3 months and you get to talk about it for 3 months.
Yeah. And at least it's interesting because like Hulu is the one that's kind of hybrid about that, where they will release some of their shows. They'll release all of them at once. And then beginning with the Mindy Project, they started to release them week to week. So it was the Mindy Project and the James Franco, Stephen King show about the JFK assassination, 11/22/63.
Right. I think is the yes. name of that one. Yeah.
And they started to do those week to week. And so they've been very interestingly playing with how do we deliver our vehicles. And it actually worked out really well for them this year because they were able to make a show like The Handmaid's Tale, the standout presentation, and ends up winning best show of the year for the Emmys.
Yeah. And it's a great show.
It in a very traditional sort of way, just providing it to people in a way that they're desiring now.
Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like binging stuff. Like, I'm glad Stranger Things came out, you know, because, I mean, we all do cliffhangers. We all know, like, oh, we have to wait a week, you know, mm-hmm. to see what's next. And there's an aspect of me that likes binging those shows, such on Netflix, you know, the streaming device. But then also there's the con side of that where you might not take it as well if you watch 12 episodes in a row because you'll get bored with it. You might need a break, you know, for a week or 3 days to get to the next one and enjoy it more, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like a perfect example of that, I think, is the fourth season of Arrested Development. If that came out every week, I think people would enjoy it more rather than have it all binged in one episode, one day, basically. So, I mean, but either way, with cutting the cord and doing either that way, you have basically have your choice because you can, you know, self-control, watch one a week, but most mm-hmm. people don't do that because that's very difficult.
Yeah.
With something like Stranger Things too, you're like, I've got to get to the next episode.
So I have a question for you, Brian.
Okay.
Do you pay for the premium version of all of these services, or do you do a combination?
So premium is mostly, so with 4K content, I'm big into 4K and UHD. So if there's 4K UHD, I'm getting it. So that would consider a premium. But like something like Hulu, where you can pay for no ads, I usually don't, because the ads are usually between 30 seconds and 2 minutes and not like 8 minutes. So it's not a big deal. It gives me time to get up and stretch or get out and go do something real quick and come back to watch it. So I usually don't pay for the premium stuff usually.
And that doesn't sort of hinder your experience of watching it when you're like binging it?
No, no, because Netflix, 000 commercials whatsoever. Hulu right. has commercials. FX has commercials, but a lot of the times they're spread out like three times in a hour show, in that like you get like 30 minutes, the first 30 minutes commercial free, and then you get your commercials. And it really doesn't bother me, just because, you know, it gives me something else to do, or, you know, look at the phone or type something or send an email or something. So it doesn't bother me that much. And like I said, the commercials are much shorter than they are on cable, for sure.
So what do you recommend for people who are like maybe into the live event television? So say a sports or sports.
The sports games.
Yeah, the sports games. Cause like I would normally compare like sports and award shows in the same category, but even at this point in my life, like I still record something like an award show and watch like start at 30 minutes later, cause I hate commercials so much. But like sports, you can't really do that because it's such a big part of the conversation and people don't like spoilers.
Right, right. So they're like pretty much every device you get, a Roku, an Apple TV, if you're on Amazon Prime, PS4, Xbox One, there are sporting things to buy. Like you can get the ESPN app and literally have access to ESPN's catalog of live news reports, classic games, and literally every ESPN game, you know, on a multi-windowed database on your screen. So you can watch like five different games at once on your screen. And then if you want to purchase, just like in regular cable, the MLB package or the football package that gives you access to all the football games anywhere, everywhere, at all times. And they do that on all of these streaming devices. The cool thing with ESPN on streaming is that you literally have it all at your fingertips at the touch of a button. Like you open up the app and literally five windows open up with all the different games coming on, and you can just go back and forth to them. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good deal. And with sporting events like wrestling and all that, there are so many different apps now that cover indie wrestling as well as WWE, like the WWE Network, which is $10 a month and features their entire catalog of multiple promotions. And it's amazing.
Which Brian and I proudly both own.
Yes, completely. Yeah. But see, that's the thing. Something like Disney or like WWE, who have an established catalog, is good to pay for. But something like CBS, they don't really have anything to offer other than one or two shows that you can't get anywhere else.
Well, they also have all their old shows. Like the only place that you can watch a lot of the CBS shows now are on – they're trying to move it so that they're only on the CBS All Access app.
Right.
So, like eventually they're going to pull them off of Hulu. And even at this point, they only air them a week – they air them later than the other networks do.
Right. And like there's, you know, you have to think about what you want to do. Like, okay, so we know Netflix and HBO and Hulu and Amazon are putting out amazing content, but CBS, not so much. Like it doesn't compare. And, you know, with something like CBS All Access, is it going to be the rated R type of material like Netflix and Hulu are putting out, instead of, you know, network primetime type stuff?
Yeah, I think it's always going to be, I mean, CBS is so safe. They're always going to be the network, like the broadest network.
Right. And, you know, with my thing with that, I will just wait for Blu-ray. You know, I'll wait for it to come out on Blu-ray and I'll watch it then. I don't need to pay for it. I can miss out on that. But something as good, you know, like on Hulu or Netflix or HBO, I want to watch then. And Netflix, or I mean HBO Go app, you can watch that live as it airs, all mm-hmm. of their shows, which is really cool.
Yeah, which is a new feature because it took them a while to get to that point. They used to just let you get them like an hour or 2 hours later.
Yeah, but now you can watch it live as it airs with everybody else.
Which is all we want in life.
It's all we want. We want it now. We want it fast and with no problems.
We want to watch it when we want to watch it.
Correct. So yeah, that's it's a good thing to cut the cable. How you feeling so far into this about cutting the cord?
I think it's a really great idea for people who want, like, if they really are trying to be, they only know they want to watch like Netflix, Hulu, HBO. But I don't know, Brian, I still worry I'm going to miss out on something, but I also am so, I think it's so romantic, the idea of cutting the cord and doing a giant fuck you to all of the cable companies because they're just corrupt and terrible.
Right. And so, like, I want to ask you, can you name me like 5 or 10 shows that you watch right now? And I could probably tell you where you can find those.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, but then you have, okay, so yes, I have answers for this question. So I, of course, watch pretty much anything on ABC because I'm an old lady.
She plays Mahjong. She drinks her tea.
I do.
And
I
she
do.
Watches ABC.
And I go to bed. This is past my bedtime right now that we're recording this. I go to bed by like 9:30.
It's past your bedtime.
I'm an old lady.
So there's an ABC app that features all their television shows, as well as Hulu features ABC too.
Yep, which is awesome. I watch. I'm trying to see. The thing is, like, I'm very. It's very tricky for me because I have also learned how to hack the system enough to be able to find any content that I want. But what I hate, what I like about cable, in the sense of like something like I was really into the show Atlanta.
Okay.
And I didn't finish watching Atlanta really until earlier this summer. And I was lucky enough to do that because I had it saved on my DVR, but I could have of course paid money for it. But as we all know, the reason you don't see a lot of shows available on the different streaming services until about 30 days out is because it's written in their contracts that they can't start showing new episodes. They can't start showing the episodes from the previous season until 30 days out from the season premiere. Right. Of the next season. So something like Atlanta or something like, these are all FX shows because those are the ones that really do it. But like something like Atlanta or Fargo, if there's no upcoming season, or there's no deadline to when that's going to happen, you have no idea when that's going to be available. So you see these conversations about these shows going on and you can't participate in it because you didn't catch it when you had the first chance.
Yeah. So like, when Atlanta airs their season and Fargo airs their season on FX, you can watch it as it airs, but mm-hmm. previous seasons may not be available, which is ridiculous. However, a good thing to that, iTunes or Amazon Prime, you can purchase the shows right. for maybe like $14, which let's say you pick 3 shows at $14 a piece. That's literally like $30 or a little more than $30, $45. Let's say round up to that. That's still significantly cheaper than $250 a month.
But say you're the kind of person who is a consumer. Mm-hmm. And now you're spending your entire, you know, you're spending a lot of money buying all these streaming services and then also supplementing by buying a couple of extra shows. And at some point, you're going to get up to that $250 that you were trying to avoid altogether.
So when I did that, I was paying for the cable. And then when I was doing stuff on iTunes, I would buy, there were certain shows I definitely did buy the seasons to, and it still came out at least $100 cheaper a month, which is, you know, $1,200 cheaper a year. And yep. That was with all the shows I purchased through iTunes. There's still a lot of money to be saved with that. And then after that, in addition to that, you get to keep those shows on all your devices digitally, no matter what, forever.
Yeah, as long as they supply them still, because there's always going to be times where they pull the rights to it and things. But that's like small potatoes.
Right, 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 right. There will always be almost pretty much a way to get it. But yeah, that's that. It's super easy. And like I said, I'm one that loved cable, and I absolutely don't miss it.
So I have one last question for you, Brian.
Okay.
Before we have beaten this delightful cord cutting to the ground. If you were to recommend one streaming service for somebody to get started with, which one would you recommend?
You know, it's an interesting question to ask because it just depends on the person if they want to watch live television pretty much, you know, on network, or they're interested in more movies and original content. Like if I would recommend Hulu for somebody who really only watches network primetime shows during the week. But other than that, I'd go Netflix all the way. Netflix, you want movies, you want TV shows, you want original content, commercial free, that's the way to go. Like if you canceled your cable right now, got an Apple TV, or not even an Apple TV, if you just have a smart TV or a smart Blu-ray player, you could download Netflix and just sign up for $8.99 a month. You will probably be very happy with that.
You know, and I have to agree with you because as a person who has had Netflix since 2002, when they were still delivering DVDs, I know what is a DVD.
Yep. I did that too. I remember that.
Netflix has always been my go-to. And I like – what I like about it is that Cliff and I don't have an Apple TV. We have a smart TV, mm-hmm. and we have a Chromecast.
Okay.
And we use a lot – we have cable as well. But we love the smart TV and the Chromecast because we can easily beam from our devices, like our smartphones, to our television.
Which is amazing to do. So yeah. that is a thing. Like you could technically pull up an ABC app on your phone and mirror it onto a television if you need to.
Yeah, which I love and is a thing that makes it very, very simple to be able – it's like why I love – Netflix and why I love Hulu, even though I hate the commercial part, but I am always reminded of what you just said, which is take the time when those commercials are going to get up and move around, go to the bathroom, check on the dogs, make sure the house isn't on fire.
Right.
You know,
right.
And like, no one's robbing you.
Yeah. And literally everything now, your phone, your players, your video game systems, your television are all smart, meaning they have all of the apps that we're talking about now.
They're all following us.
Yeah, they're all following us. And you know what? All these apps are becoming or already 4K ready. They all come in the 5.1 sound. And it's a demand service too. So, you know, you don't have to record anything. It will always be there for you to watch no matter when or where.
Yep.
So that's the thing I like about it. I mean, that's one of the many things I like about it with cord cutting. I just hope one day, Gwen, you'll cut the cord, and I think your world will be open. I just have to say, I do not recommend an Amazon Fire TV yet.
Ugh, no thank you. The Fire Stick is also terrible. Pretty much any Amazon product I have yet, other than like a nice, like the really nice Kindles that you spend a lot of money on.
Yeah.
They have not been great, Bob. They have not been great.
Yeah. Amazon sent me their Amazon 4K Fire TV and I got the Apple 4K TV and compared and contrast, and that Apple is way better for many reasons.
Yeah.
People who are buying that Amazon have to be pissed. So,
I don't understand it. I mean, Amazon, I also just don't really, it's funny. I have Amazon Prime for the shipping and I was very excited when they first came out with all their original shows and other things that you could get. 'Cause for a long time, like most of the FX programming was only available on Amazon. It was, some of it was on Netflix, but like, say you wanted to watch the newest season of Sons of Anarchy, it was available on Amazon before it was available on Netflix. Right. Or like Doctor Who, or trying to think of the shows that I was watching. But using their interface has always been really challenging. And it wasn't until I got the smart TV where I could actually just log into my Amazon account through that, that it worked fine. But yeah, I'm not as a big fan of Amazon as I probably should be.
Yeah. And one of the other things that I really like about cutting the cord with something like Apple TV is their microphone in the remote control. So basically, if you're searching for a show or an actor, you could literally talk into the remote control of an Apple TV and say Bruce Campbell, and it will immediately, within a fraction of a second, bring up every Bruce Campbell movie, and you can click on any of them and watch it. I love that aspect of it. So instead of, like, you know, having to scroll to all the letters to press in something, you know, it's always a pain in the ass. But
always
with something like Amazon Fire TV or something like Apple TV, it literally is easy as speaking your voice into the remote and saying, you know, Modern Family, all Modern Family episodes come up.
What a wonderful place to live, where you have hundreds of Modern Family episodes to watch.
I know, it's ridiculous, and they're still winning awards.
I love that show. I'm on board with Modern Family.
Still?
I still am. I watch it every week.
Wow. It's been a while since I've watched it.
It's not great, again, but it makes me very happy, and I love the characters. They're like my friends. I've known them for like 11 years or however long they've been on TV.
Well, good.
Yeah. Sometimes you have your friends. So, well, cool. True. Well, Brian, thank you for answering all my questions. And I do think that you opened my eyes to ways that I could be saving money, which is my goal in 2018, is to be an adult, to keep my house clean and to save money.
I guarantee you, if you cut the cord, you will save between $80 and $100 a month. And just think of how many snacks you can buy with that.
I know. Month. I was like, that is an entire run to Costco for me.
That is like 50 bags of potato chips and 10 bags of oranges. Yes, it's good. So, yes, we have questions. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Gwen Reyes, where can they find you, Gwen, online and on TV and everything?
Yeah. So you can watch me on traditional local television in Dallas, Texas with your bunny ears antenna. Mm-hmm. Or you can just follow me on Twitter with Real Vixen, or at Real Vixen, not with Real Vixen. That would be really a weird name. Or find me on Facebook. I'm The Gwen Reyes. And that's about it, really. Our Instagram, Real Vixen. I'm on the internet as Real Vixen, R-E-E-L-V-I-X-E-N.
Excellent. Yeah, she's on. She's funny. Follow, subscribe, do all of that good stuff. And let's tease our next show. We have questions about something, someone, right? Who is it?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
Oh.
Was I supposed to answer this question?
Her name starts with an O.
I do love bread. Just like my queen, Oprah.
There you go.
Yes.
I am excited. We do.
To talk about Oprah.
We do. We have some questions about Oprah, how she got her start, what she's done for the, she's the queen of media. We've got questions.
She's got her own snacks now, Brian. She's fucking legit.
Dude, when you have your own snacks, you could be anything you want.
She's got a yogurt. She's got cereal. She's got like all the things. I'm sure she has bread because she loves bread.
Oh my God. I love bread too. We're like Oprah.
We are like Oprah.
We have questions, Oprah.
We do have questions. I hope she answers them for us one day.
I hope so too. We'll try to get her on the show. I bet you she's not busy.
She's like, I have nothing but time for you guys.
Excellent. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week with We Have Questions.